Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. This is your host, Karima Ali, with the NCWCC Digital Online Radio. Merry Christmas to you all. And this Christmas Eve, I want you guys to understand that it's all about being with family, friends, and loved ones. We are so blessed to have this day arrive finally. And to commemorate this particular night, I would like to assure you that we're going to bring on some all-time favorites. Today is the 24th day. I want to say happy birthday to my godson, Charles Wooden, a.k.a. Pookie, who's out there in California celebrating his birthday. And a very good friend of mine, Tamika Hall. Happy birthday to you too, love. And for all of you all who were born on the eve of Christmas, happy birthday to you. And may God bless you on this sacred, precious evening. I want for you all to take some time and understand sincerely that Jesus is the reason for this season. So I understand that you guys want to get gifts to people that you love, but just imagine those who can't. So give to those that you don't know anything about, and you'll be truly blessed in 2011. So on this silent night, on this holiest night, I want to welcome you all to some real things that are happening. And we just are very blessed to have today. Thank you. Trying to play Silent Night for you all by the Temptations, and then that was Grace by Destiny Muhammad. Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve. You know, anytime you try to do something special and something good to give out a indication of good spirits and love and peace and prosperity, you know. Sometimes things happen. We ain't gonna get nobody no credit. We're gonna go ahead and keep it moving. Throw some jazz out. Okay, now I know where we are right now. I got wires twisted and everything. Now we're going to kick off Christmas the right way. Here we go, y'all. Here we go. There we go.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with that for Jesus. And we can't forget where we come from. So come on, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
I don't know what we doing, but like I said, every time you try to do right, anytime you try to do right, boy, and long try to come to y'all, y'all don't understand what's happening tonight. You got to look back at 2010. And look beyond all your faults. Look beyond everything. And any time things have gotten thick, I'm talking about, we know what we're talking about tonight, y'all. This is the eve. This is the dawn of a man that came here to speak the word and save everybody. as everybody, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, non-believers, everybody, save us all. So on this day, Karima, understand, anytime we lean on them, y'all understand, it's been a wonderful week. I like to say, saying that name makes the devil turn and run. That's all I know. That's all I know. We are airing live, y'all, from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I'm here, and I could be home visiting my mom, my family, but I just felt that it was just good to stay put today, and that's what I did. And I'm a stick and stay kind of person, but I'm gonna do something for y'all because I know that this switchboard and sound systems and everything's just been going haywire. But I'm gonna play that because this is Blog Talk Radio. I'm gonna do that one more time for y'all and hear it in the background. And y'all don't understand what that means to me. You know, I've lost 3 aunts. I got the baby cousin in ICU. And I just want to let y'all know that God is able. Yes, sir. So on this eve of Christmas, for anything that you ever wanted, if you just say his name, it'll soothe you. It'll heal all your wounds. And I promise you, it's gonna be all right, y'all.
harder now than they ever been before. So much hurt and pain that it seems so hard to bear. You gotta remember that you can count on that you'll keep you strong. I'm here to let you know there's always hope for you and me. What it feels like.
guys. Welcome back to the show. We've been having, I guess, a ton of technical difficulties this evening. A couple of emotional outbreaks on my behalf. But I am all right now. It's just so hard to just think that people in this world don't know that this whole Christmas Eve is about the birth of Jesus. And just knowing that our sins have been washed away as a result of his actions to the world, it's just profound. As we change gears tonight, we will be bringing on Mr. Marvin Baldwin Jr. He is a director. He has staged a lot of things that we're going to mention in his career. Marvin Baldwin Jr. Has appeared as an actor, filmmaker, director, very well-rounded in every aspect. He has an ensemble of roles that he has played as well, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get this gentleman on tonight on Christmas Eve. Mr. Baldwin has had some very good movies. One of them is The Preacher's Kid, 2010, and Pieces of a Dream. He has various opportunities that we'll go over. He's also appeared in Zombies and, of course, The Walking Dead. Please understand that the gentlemen and the people that you've listened to over the course of the week are actors who have just successfully climbed the corporate ladder in such a small period of time. This gentleman has appeared on The House of Pain and Tyler Perry's TPS show, as well as Fighting Angels, Night of the Jekylls, Piece of a Dream, Preacher's Kid, Dirty Martini, Why Did I Get Married 2, Killers, My Super Psycho, Sweet 16, Blindside, and as well as some commercials. And as commercials, he's done some things as a music producer. This lineup of actors and actresses that we've had and community leaders this week has been very, very instrumental in what we're doing. This gentleman has done some things with voiceovers, too. Christmas Story, he was Jesus, the actor. So we should be welcoming him into the show here shortly. I want to thank him for being very cognizant of the fact that Karima is all over the place and kind of a little batty sometimes. And I want to just wish that people continue to have locations with me. It's a very strong opportunity for me to just kind of get to know some of these actors and actresses that are very well-rounded. This gentleman right here is a phenomenal. I mean, this guy, you guys tune in for exactly who Mr. Marvin Baldwin is. And he has joined us tonight. Mr. Baldwin, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Mr. Baldwin, please let everybody know, where are you from originally, born and raised?
Well, born and raised originally from St. Louis, Missouri, a little town called Pine Lawn. Yes, a very known neighborhood. Yes, grew up Spent a lot of my years in Pine Line, but I've been all over St. Louis, Missouri.
So tell everybody about this opportunity that actually reared you into going into your story about coming into the movies and film, and just the stream of accolades that you have in what you've done in your history. What for some of our younger listeners, how did this actually happen? What directed you into what you're doing today?
Well, as far as the acting is concerned, I touched bases on that first, but I've always been a part of something dealing with music or entertaining people. But as far as acting, it started almost 16 years ago at the church I used to go to in St. Louis called Believers Temple Word Fellowship. And young lady who was writing all the plays, she was a playwright. And she knew a little bit about my past and where I had come from the streets. And so one day she was like, "Hey, Marvin, I got a part for you. I want you to play." And so I was like, okay. I didn't audition. She just kind of like deboed me into the game, you know. It was like, "Yeah, I got a part for you. I know you can do it," because it's what you used to do, you know. And it was like a rough character. It was like a drug dealer, street, you know. So, of course, I nailed that role. And, of course, yeah, it was like real natural for me to play that role. Very believable. But I was 21 at the time.
Okay.
And so, and every year I was always casted for it, you know, never auditioned for it. I was always casted for something. I've played various roles, not just a thug. I've played a preacher. I've played Angel. And also for the past like 5 or 6 years at the church, but the last year that I was at the church, I had an opportunity to become one of the co-writers and one of the directors of the play. I had a lead role in it as well. And so there was another play that was brewing up, which was a national stage play. And so the director and the writers, they wasn't trying to get me to do that role. They wanted to get Joe Torre to do that role because it was based on the true story. And the name of that play is called The House Divided, based on a true story written by, it was a book called Our Husband is Our Maker that was written by Gwen Jackson. And we went to the same church. And so she's always, you know, my ex-wife, you know, she was a hairstylist, so she's getting her hair done. And she's always like, "I told her, Marvin, you know, they should get you to do their role, play their role." And I told her, I said, "You know, what's for me is going to be for me." I said, "I'm not going to worry about it." So some things came up. Joe Torre couldn't do their role. So after my performance of the play that I was co-writer and director of that play, they end up coming to me and say, "Hey, we would like for you to audition for this role." So, of course, I landed that role and went on tour for 2 years, had an opportunity to act with people like the late, rest in peace, Ollie Woodson, from the formerly Temptation, lead singer, Treat Her Like a Lady, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Regina Bell, Karen Clark Shear, Dorinda Clark Cole, Shia LaVert, Christian Keys. So it was pretty fun. I've had opportunity to perform at the Fox Theater, the Orpheum in Memphis. So we've been all over. Signing autographs. It was pretty fun. It was a nice journey. And so as it began to progress and as my gifts and talents began to progress, I just felt like I was going through a phase, like a claustrophobia. And I said, I needed St. Louis has become too small for my gifts and talents. And so I took a trip. I took a trip here to Atlanta 5 years ago. I can remember like it was yesterday. I had a two-door Chevy Cavalier, and it took me about 15, 16 hours just to get here. Now, mind you, it's an eight-hour trip. Yeah, I didn't want to waste. I'm telling you, I didn't want to take no chances. I was stepping out on faith. I was just believing God. It took me 15, 16 hours to get here. I did 50 miles an hour all the way here. I wasn't taking no chances. And so end up coming here, and so I ran through some ran into some snags along the way. End up being homeless. End up sleeping out of my car for a few months, which was a blessing. I was still content. I'm grateful that it was during the summertime. It was during the summertime, so that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother depth of story. I could talk about stuff for hours, but anyway, so I started shopping my music around, trying to shop my music around, and I'm just trying to network because I know Atlanta was where it was at, so. And so I started getting off at church here and started getting off into plays and going to this play, doing that play. And certain plays, I would play four or five different characters. I had an opportunity here. Oh, it was almost 2011. So that was 09, 08. I had an opportunity to direct my first play. And just being the director, period. It's called The Woman I Am Today. That was a great experience for me as well. I've done some coaching, some acting coaching, character development, helping people with improv. So it's quite extensive. And then I started getting off more off into the film. Doing a lot of background work, featured extra work in various films. My first big one was The Preacher's Kid.
Came in as a feature. About that.
Yes.
Just about the action about that. You were a singer in The Preacher's Kid, too, as well, right?
Well, you know, that was just pantomiming. That was just pantomiming. It was pantomiming only. That's it. It was just pantomiming. So I want to clarify that.
Okay.
But I Daryl Tajay was the producer for The Preacher's Kid. And you wouldn't even know that this guy was a producer because of who I am. I talk to anybody. This guy had on some raggedy jeans and a white T-shirt. Just walking around. Didn't look like, anybody rich or famous. So I'm just talking to him, hey, man, what's going on? We got to talk. He said, yeah, I'm the producer. I'm like, oh, okay. And we got to talking, and we was talking throughout the film, the duration of time that I was on set. I was on set for 12 days. So he said, you know what? He told me, I'm going to give you a credit for being in the movie. It was such a blessing because I came in with no lines, just a, featured extra, and the assistant director, he didn't want to see me as much. He's like, Marvin, yeah, I saw you already. I want you to get way in the back, And so I kind of pointed some things out to the assistant director, kind of helped him out. He was like, Marvin, I owe you one. And it just took off from there. He's like, Marvin, I want you to do this. Marvin. And he went from not calling me to calling me all the time. So if you watch The Preacher's Kid, if you see The Preacher's Kid, you would see me. And so... I'm all over the place. Then he said, Marvin, I want you to be Clifton Powell's assistant. And so it means I'm, interacting with Clifton Powell in the movie. What else? They had gave me some speakers. He gave me some speaking lines, but they ended up cutting that out. But I mean, it was a great experience.
The Blind Side. What was going? I mean, you got Warner Brothers. That's a name right there. Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
But I Get Married Too. But what was happening with the Blind Side?
Oh,
Tennessee assistant coach.
that's. I'm gonna tell you how that happened. See, I'm a firm believer in they were looking for people from between the ages of 18 and 25. So I said, well, they had some. It was Marietta at some hotel. It was a private hotel, something like that. They had auditions for football players. For my year, I don't know a lot about football, you know. So I'm trying to get crash courses from guys like, what is this? What is that? What is that? So I'm thinking they're gonna be asking all kind of questions, but they pretty much ran a couple of plays, and so guys who were professional football players there was fumbling and dropping the ball and couldn't really, you know, really do the exercises. But I came in, was hitting stuff on point, pew, 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 you know. So I knew it wasn't because of my my physical ability, why they didn't take me to be a football player. You know, they wanted really young people, and it was, like, predominantly white. And I know I'm far from that. You know, it was pretty good. So I submitted for it anyway. So I ended up getting a call. I was like, hey, you know, we can be an assistant coach. I'm like, cool. I'm like, that works for me. Yeah, I mean, you know, so, but here's the thing that even for the listeners and I tell the people in my circle, even though it might say 18 to 25, sometimes still submit yourself because it's not really about age. If you have a look that they're looking for, they're going to get you started. If it's for you, it's for you. That's how I've gotten a lot of gigs. I've gotten a lot of gigs because I'm 36 now. Of course, I was 35 at the time. I'm 10 years past what they were looking for. But I ended up being an assistant coach. I would have been more seen than the Blind Side, but I was only able to do one day on set. They only 5 days. But that was a blessing. I got a scene, a farmer. We was in the office watching a football play on the player. In the office, which was pretty cool. I had an orange shirt and a white hat, and the same with Phil Farmer. Yeah.
Vogue.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So
let me ask you a question about Tyler Perry. Why Did I Get Married To? That has been the cool thing. Just being able to be in that and be with Janet Jackson and all the other individuals there. What was that like?
I didn't meet Janet on set. It was just Lamon Rucker, and I forgot the other guy's name. It was a scene where Lamon Rucker and the white guy was in the locker room, and they had me as a detective. And that scene, you could be in the scene, you might have lines in the scene, but when it gets to the threshing floor of the editing room, and your scene is chopped and screwed, you like, okay, Mom, they're coming this morning. Like, wait a minute. They have a director's cut or something? I spent a minute in this scene. I'm going to cut my scene out. And, you know, you're telling everybody that I'm going to be in this movie. I'm in this movie. Gave me some speaking lines. And when you see it, and you got, like, 10,000 people watching your stuff, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. We didn't see you know. So that can be kind of embarrassing. But, you know, it is what it is. That's just how the business is. So, I haven't seen Why Did I Get Married To? So I don't even know if I'm in the scene. There's a lot of movies that I've been in that I have not seen. And people call me, hey, man, you're in the lottery ticket? Well, you're in the lottery ticket. Hey, man, I saw you on this movie, man. I'm Past Life. Hey, you was in Past Life. I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen it. But my man Keith Hayes, you know, he tried to T-boy for me. They tried to send it to me, you know, email it to me, because I still haven't seen it. Yeah, but they ended up cutting that show anyway. They did like 6 episodes of The Past Life.
And, okay.
I was a prison guard. Very, very featured. Me and the main actor, I'm walking him down death row. So it's just frame of the camera.
So you've been a co-director, co-writer, Issues. This is the meat and potatoes I wanted to get into. You are moving more and more as a director and writer and producer coming up. Okay. What's happening with those upcoming projects that you have in 2011?
Oh, my goodness. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Me and Keith Hayes, we were on the set of Bit. And Keith Hayes like, hey, man, I got this concept. I got this idea, man. And so he had a couple of other co-actors in. He's like, yeah, man. He kind of ran it down to me. He's like, oh, I'm like, oh, man, I really like that. So we begin to hatch it out. We begin to write it. So we pretty much wrote the TV pilot that day. We wrote it that day. And so, yeah, so it was just that good. So we began to write it and hatch it out. And we began to see it, and it began to come into fruition. And so later on, we began to bounce the script back and forth through email. I'll add some dialogue, he'll add some dialogue, and we kind of went about it that way. It's pretty cool. It's really going to be funny. I'm not biased at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not biased at all. It is funny. It is going to be funny. I wrote myself in the script.
Okay.
I can't tell you about it. But it is going to be funny. It's going to the characters that we have for it. Oh my God, they're just funny. They're like naturally at each other all the time, off camera.
Okay.
That's just how they vibe, you know. And they're both from the islands, so that is going to be crazy. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Yeah. So
let me ask you a question. Is that where you're headed? Is that where the ultimate? Like I asked Keith. Are we looking at, and no disrespect to you guys, but like the up and coming Tyler Perry type scenario? Is that what we're looking for? That's what we should be looking forward in the next 0 to 5 years?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, the potential is definitely there. The raw talent is definitely there. It's my man Keith. Keith is a fool. The boy is. he's crazy. That's my guy. You know, it was definitely destined for us to meet up, and how we met up. So we've hit it off ever since. You know, iron sharp as iron. You know, and he's not a chicken. I'm not a chicken, but we're both eagles. And so we inspire each other, which is good. You know, we help each other. We encourage each other. And so we have stuff on Facebook that we've done, some spoofs that Keith created. It's crazy stuff, you know, and it's funny, you know. It's just a beautiful thing to be able to work with somebody with like mind, you know, or with a like mind who's going down the same path, but not the same path, but in the same direction. But we all have to walk our own paths, but we're going in the same direction. Which is cool. I'm excited for the near future of the project that we have coming up, the TV pilot, and prayerfully and hopefully that it will get picked up. And with that being said, it getting picked up, we're definitely going to invite as many writers as we can to make sure we can fulfill the need of any production company, anybody that's going to invest in the vision.
Got a question here. The woman I am today, Pastor Dignan Hill.
Yes.
You were director of. Is that one of the films that you were a director in, or you was co-directing that one?
No, that was the play. That was a play.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time actually being the director.
Okay.
That was my first time being the director, and so I was also. Part of the casting. So I was helped casting as well. So the guy, William Parks, he was the playwright. He wrote the script, and he wrote it actually like 20 years ago, and he's done it then. But he wanted to fly some people from L.A. to direct it and act in it, and so he decided to look in Atlanta and see what Atlanta has to offer. And so I had met him through somebody else who was talking about me to him. And so he's like, I want to meet him, you know. So he used to own a restaurant called Mom and Em in Stone Mountain. In Stone Mountain and on Memorial Drive. And so it's no longer open now. But, yeah, he liked me. You know, I had to audition for him, and I jumped in and out of, like, 3 or 4 different characters for him. And he's like, okay, yeah, this guy. And so how I came about doing Pastor Dion Hill is that, you know, we had people coming through auditioning for us. So I would kind of coach people on what we were looking for. And so I did such a good job. He said, I don't care who else walks through that door and audition for Pastor Dion. He said, you going to do Pastor Dion. He was like, I don't want nobody else doing it but you. He's like, man, when you was doing that part, man, I felt chills. Felt like I was in church again, you know, because he talked real, real fast. So it was funny. It was funny. So, yeah, that was a cool experience, directing and also being having a role in it like that.
You have a knack to reproduce characters with a southern twang, a British, Midwest, Australian. Do the Australian thing for us, please. Because I'm just a black Australian. Come on.
Hello, Mikey. Nice day. Hello, love. All is well. All is well. Ends well. Yeah. I mean, I can go in and touch my credit. Always talking to this. You talk to me like we are this, but I'm from my country, the full of feet. How we doing the water? Oh, forget about it. You know, so I mean, you know, I can go there and take it there. Country really doesn't matter how we do it, and I can do it in the country ways, baby. You know, I can take it all the way. It's just different characters I can jump in and out of. You know, baby. You know, my name is Cadillac Mac. You know, and I can only do it one way. You know, I just play around with stuff all the time, different vocals and trying to voice, which is cool. You know, it's really cool. Oh, which come. Speaking of that, I've been casted for 2 different movies, and I'm filming right now. This one movie called Breaking Point. But this other movie, we haven't started filming yet, so we're still going through the we're going to film the treatment. So it's a shorter version of the script. We're going to film that. And so the writer, I'm playing 2 different characters. I'm playing the sheriff, and also I'm playing another role. And so the writer, here again, the writer was like, you know, the producer was telling him, like, I got 3 or 4 other guys that want to, you know, go out for the sheriff role. The writer was like, I don't care. He was like, I heard this guy read that role. I want him to do that role. So he was like, I don't care what we have to do. We're going to dress you up. If we don't have to show your face, whatever we need to do, I want you to do that character because of my delivery of it.
You do voiceovers as well. The comedian side, I see that already.
Oh my goodness!
I see that. I hear that already.
I talked. You know, actually, when I was doing the House Divided, a friend of mine I met, he's from St. Louis too. He's been on BET. He's been all over. Comic View, he's hosted some stuff on Comic View, BET, one of them. His name is Arvin Mitchell. He's a comedian. And so, like, this is like 6 movies doing the play, like 6 years ago. I was like, man, I want to do comedy. He's like, man, just go ahead and do it, man. I was like, man. So fear kind of got in the way. Fear got in the way, and it wasn't until I almost died. You know, I almost died Labor Day at Lake Lanier. I almost drowned out there. So I said, you know what? We got one life to live. And so after that, my near-death experience, I just said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I just stepped out and started doing comedy.
Wow. Lake Lanier. No, you had no business up there in the first place. We don't do Lake Lanier. We do Lake Alatona. They fish things out of Lake Lanier that ain't made no sense. So we, I don't know. I mean, man, Lake Lanier? Whew. I know you don't go back up there no time, right? I hope not. I have people who have boat houses up there. What is it, pontoons? Oh my God, this is not cute. I'm very fearful of that one. If it ain't got a bottom, I'm good. Absolutely. Okay, we just lost him here. Guess he'll be calling back in. You guys take a moment. I'm sure Mr. Bob will. We drop him back in for a moment. I'm going to play Poetic Love, a couple other tracks here.
Poetic Love. She asked me, how does poetry make you feel? I said, poetry is like a good lover, the kind that makes love to you from your head down to your feet, the kind that makes you think of them when they are nowhere to be found. Poetry is the kind of love that lifts you up when you're down. The kind of love that makes you smile and brings you peace. The kind we women talk about in our secret hiding places. The kind you record in your mind for years and years after it's gone. I guess it's like giving birth to an angel and always feeling it close to your heart. Even when you have to far away, you still feel it running through you. That's what poetry is for me. Poetic love.
Baldwin back to the call. This is Mr. Baldwin Jr. is a well-rounded actor who is well-versed in comedy and drama. He is no stranger to the stage, and he has worked on a variety of plays and commercials. I mean, he has a wonderful lineup. I mean, as a director, writer, producer, gentleman is driven, absolutely. Mr. Baldwin, welcome back to the show.
Yes, thanks for having me once again. I'm just a talking. I don't know where I left off. I'm talking. I'm just running my mouth. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. She's not responding. Wait a minute. What's up? Look at my phone and just whoop. It just went. Okay. I'm like, oh, come on. What?
No, I think we left out about the Lake Alatona thing. It's just a note to self. Never go to. I mean, we do Lake Alatona. Lake Alatona.
Please enter your password.
Lake Lanier. Yeah, we're here.
You said what again?
It's your phone. I said, we don't, here in Georgia, we don't do we, our me, cousins, our cousins, we don't do Lake Lanier like that. We do Lake Atlatuna. So just I'm glad you, you know, made it through for real. Let's talk about I just really want to dive into some of the upcoming projects. Now, you're going to be cast on The Walking Dead as well, or how's that working out?
Well, actually, I was part of that project already the last, was it this season? I think it was this season. I was part of that project. And what happened, I was supposed to have been featured on there as well as a zombie. But it, they had a new guy on set. And so it was a bunch of mix-ups. So I didn't end up being a part of that project as far as being a zombie. But I was one of the ones that they killed. The army guys with the jumpsuit and masks. So I did a lot of screaming.
Okay.
You know, I didn't sound like a girl or a woman. I was, you know, it was, I was screaming, and, you know, of course they shot us with the AK-47s. And those blanks, oh my God, it was like loud. Real loud.
Okay.
So we had like earplugs and stuff, but it was a fun project. It was pretty cool. It was a pretty fun project.
The demographics, describe that part of your life.
You say who?
This guy down here, demographics, demography, killers, past life, preacher's kid. You were on Killers, which is a what was Killers?
Killers was with Ashton Kutcher. Tom Selleck was on there as well. Actually, what I was is you didn't really see me. I was actually a mascot. I was the evil mascot. I haven't seen that as well. So I don't know if they cut that scene or not. So they had me in this eagle mascot, and I walked up to Ashton Kutcher, and I'm like mugging. And so I turned and looked at him. So he's turning around, looking at all these people, looking at him like these people are like possessed. Yeah. So that was it. I wasn't in any other scene in Killers.
Okay.
What else? You say past life?
Yeah, the past life.
Okay, the past life, yeah. That's the one I was talking about earlier. They only shot 6 episodes of the past life. One episode, I was prison guard. And then the other episode, I was a New York police officer. They kind of gave me credit for those episodes.
When you this new up and coming Mr. Marvin Baldwin Jr., is mm-hmm. there a particular name that we need to be looking for as far as the person that is the producer? When you guys are producing your plays, is there a new name to be looking for as a studio or anything that, you know, let us know what to be looking through, because, you know, we do the bootleg thing too quick. what we need to be looking for the buy doing the by, you know, by November or June or what's the name?
Well, you know, I really can't say which one, because this industry is so fickle. Somebody can see you walking down the street, hey, we want to get that guy right there to do the role. A main character can drop out for whatever reason, and they need to fill that role ASAP. Mm. And that's just how it works. This one movie that I'm a lead character in, it called Breaking Point, I submitted my information, and they had already casted somebody for it. It was passed, the casting was passed. It was already passed. And so I said, well, I'm going to submit for it anyway. I know they already had a casting and an audition. I said, see, that's how I think. I still submit after the fact. Even though my age don't require it, you know, I don't meet the age qualification, I still submit. And so I submitted for it, and the main character, he ended up dropping out. And so I got a phone call, and they say, hey, you know, we want to offer you the role. I said, great, I'll take it.
Okay.
So now we've been filming, huh?
I'm saying, why not?
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, why not, of course. You know, why not? Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, so actually it's a project that's going on. It's called Lanterwood. And so they're getting a lot of actors, producers, and directors in Atlanta, and they try to do, you know, like a coalition, put a lot of stuff together. And the requirement for me to do at least 4 movies with them. So I'm required to do at least 4 movies with them. Like, I really have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. I don't have a problem doing at least 4 movies. Oh, yeah, of course, you know. By all means. No, well, I'm going to say no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm sorry. I'm an actor, but I'm not going to be filming 4 movies for you guys. I'm just going to do 1, and that's it. That's all you get out of it. Of course I'm going to say yes.
Of course. Absolutely.
Of course.
So that's Namson over there, a brother from Nigeria, right? That's my boy there.
Yeah.
You know, I knew I heard your name from somewhere. So you did The Anatomy of a Brother with Soul Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So you've been in our neck of woods. I knew I heard your name from someplace. I was like, I was looking at the resume here. So that, yeah, Anatomy of a Brother. I remember that, absolutely. And then you got Turner Chapel, Christmas Story for the voiceover. And he was like, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
right there, I don't care. That's I know your folks is like, don't you be messing up being Jesus now.
You know, but you know, it's I don't take it for granted. It's a blessing. I don't think myself to be this person, like, yeah, I'm all of that. You know, and some people get a taste of stardom, so to speak, and they run with it. And like, okay, yeah, I can't do this, and I can't. No, I'm a real dude. And I still get grimy. And I'm still the kind of guy that will get on, if I don't have a mop in the house, I will get a towel and get on my hands and knees and mop the floor. I grew up watching the baseboards and, you know, getting rashes from washing dishes. You know, if the dishwasher is broke, guess what? I'm going to add a little bleach to the water, boil me some water, make sure it's hot enough to make sure my dishes is clean. So I don't mind hard labor. I don't mind hard labor at all.
Somebody raised you right.
You said what now?
I said somebody raised you right. Bless your heart. For you young men and husbands, listen to this brother.
Oh yeah. Mama said, she raised me well. You know, I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest of 5, and I had it rough. So don't get me wrong, but the principles that I was taught, I didn't like washing baseboards every week. You know, and I was the oldest, so I had to wash dishes all the time. So I had to be in charge and do stuff, and I wasn't happy. But washing those baseboards, it did something for me later on in life. And I ended up owning a cleaning company. And I said, if I can clean like that, I can start my own business. And so I had employees and all of that. You know, it was pretty good. You know, this was about 10, 11 years ago. But that's on the business side. But, yeah, the acting, speaking of Turner Chapel, we're getting together, the drama ministry, and we're going to do something outside the church. We're writing a movie script. So I'm going to be one of the writers, one of the creators of the movie script. So it's going to be like eight to ten of us. And we're going to be part of this project. The guy that's already on board, Shaki, he already have camera equipment. He got the cameras. He got the lighting. So he got the technical side that's already ready to shoot a movie. So now we come together. We're going to brainstorm. We're going to create stuff. And we're going to hatch it out so we can put a movie together. So I still got my hands in, you know, in different pots, whether in front of the camera or behind the camera.
There's a lot of it. Theater, voiceover, commercial, music videos, film, television, producing, acting, writing, casting. Okay, I've done this one. Stunt?
Yeah, amateur stunts. Yeah, I've done amateur stunts. Oh, my goodness, yes. It's crazy.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to limit myself. And I feel like any listener listening, I said to myself, it's not necessarily a New Year's resolution because I didn't start it as that. I grew up saying, you know, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to do this or that. No, the time is now. You know, you're not promised tomorrow. Your New Year resolution starts today. It starts today. And so I was like, I want to tap into every talent and gift that I possess in my body, within my being. I want to tap into it. And so that's what I'm doing. Every talent and gift, I'm tapping into it. So I definitely want to encourage the listener to do the same.
I mean, you've been through a lot. I mean, to come here, and I do understand what that means, to just be so open to everything because you just feel that you can do what needs to be done. And that's the attitude to have, especially coming from someplace and coming to a place like Atlanta and just being open. Have you been back home to do anything?
Recently, you know, me and the producer, we wasn't really on the same page. She came to me. She was also the writer of this movie script she wrote. And she had a guy to direct it initially, but he ended up having a bigger project. And so I was playing B. And so we ended up shooting, we were supposed to shoot a movie trailer in St. Louis, which we did. But we didn't have all the crew that we needed. We didn't have all the equipment that we needed, you know. And I told her, you know, going in, I said, you know, I've worked on these movie sets to shoot one scene, a little itty bitty scene. It takes at least 30 people to set up the scene. You know, for the lighting, you got grip, you got lighting, PAs, and you got the director and assistant director, and you got wardrobe, makeup, and you got all these people coming together to do one job. And like I was telling her, I said, look, we need a lot of people to get the job done. And so, and I said, we definitely need lights. So we went down there. We didn't have all the people, the crew. So I ended up doing like four or five different positions. So I shot the project, and also I was the director. But it's kind of hard for the director to sit back and direct when he's doing so much stuff. You know, so I'm the grip guy, I'm the lighting guy, and I'm the PA. It was crazy. So we shot the project. So she didn't like the project. So she ended up scratching it. She ended up scratching the project, which I wasn't upset at all. You know, I was just happy that it was over, you know, because we definitely had some, it was a lot of oil and water mix going on before we even went down to St. Louis. And so, I mean, it was a learning experience, definitely a learning experience. That was my first time directing a film. and also shooting one as well.
Okay.
So it was just, it was nothing but to catapult me into the next project and the do's and don'ts. So which it was definitely a learning experience.
So from a philanthropic level, from just giving back to your community, have you been back to Normandy High at all whatsoever since you left?
No, I haven't been back to St. Louis a lot because I've been busy. I've been there a few times, but I haven't been back to Normandy. Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
My plan, future plan and goal down the line, I want to build a studio in the Midwest. I want to build a studio in St. Louis.
Okay.
Because I definitely want to give back to the community because I have inspired people. I have encouraged people, especially where I come from, my background, my history from being coming from the streets and you know, the drug dealing life and stuff you see on cops, drug raids and high-speed chases and stuff and shootouts and I've been through all of that, and
ooh.
I'm still here. I'm still here. You know, places, you know, been robbed, gunpoint several times, seen bullets coming at me. I had shootouts, but I'm still here to tell the story.
Mm. Right, brother. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You really need to be, like, in front of some of these younger brothers who don't have a clue, that they think that they're just counted out. And, you know, with Atlanta becoming the new Hollywood, I call it Atlanta-wood,
yeah.
You know, we want to thank our common friend and our public relations person for NCWCC, Miss Janie Byrne. We both love a little redhead, and I'm so happy that she was able to pull a lot of people that she has relationships with to bring back into what we're doing. And we want to thank you guys, especially you and Keith Hayes, and just coming in and giving us a, because it's so important to have, you know, young black men on the show that can really let these younger brothers know that, you know, you know, your first role was the fact that you was already playing the role of a thug.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, real easy, you know. You know,
yeah,
so you just let folks know, don't, you know, this is, not saying it's okay to be a thug or anything, but you had the role already down packed, so, you know. I found it to be so ironic. Oh, you fit the whole script. You're like, yeah, I can do this. I think I can get this worked in a little bit. I can add lib in just a little. Wow.
And I was fresh off the streets. I was like,
okay. That's like I'm going to get a crackhead. We want you to be a crackhead as an extra. Oh, really?
Okay.
I have a problem with
it. I can do that, yeah.
What's the first project we should be looking for, and which quarter? The first quarter, second quarter, third quarter? Where should we be looking to, and how can we get in contact with? Where can our listeners go to hit you up, and folks that might be interested in contacting you for different projects? How can the folks get in contact with you?
I pretty much kind of live on Facebook, because that is definitely a powerful networking tool. People can damage and taint anything, but Facebook is definitely a powerful tool. People can reach me on Facebook, / Mr. B, 2, that's MISTERBEE, and the number 2, or you can look up my name, Marvin Baldwin. Look me up on Facebook, or you can email me at marvintheactor@yahoo.com. That's MARVINTHEACTOR@yahoo.com. I can't give you my phone number, but Yeah, you can reach me, yeah, on Facebook or via email. And I post a lot of stuff on Facebook, videos, some of my comedy shows. I post on Facebook as well, and other stuff that I've done, backstage stuff. People have video recording me doing some crazy stuff.
Okay.
It's on Facebook, you know. So, yeah. So until further notice, you follow me on Facebook until further notice, and until you start seeing, because we always going to post whatever's going on Facebook.
Okay.
And if Facebook go down, you can always email me.
Okay.
Yeah. You just never know.
I think some people will be in therapy if Facebook comes to go down.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll go to therapy. You think they were jumping off bridges because they had to get the Bentleys pulled back into the shop, but I think they would literally jump off the buildings for real. So, Mr. Baldwin, thank you, Marvin, very much for coming on the show and blessing us with who you are and where you're coming from and where you're going, because that is so inspirational to hear your story from, and just being humble about it, you know, just being homeless and not turning back, not giving up, and just being determined as a young black man back in the day, and just staying persistent and staying positive and doing things that you just kept your heritage in terms of your base, which is the church, that has driven you to the successful actor, director, videographer, producer, comedian, voiceover coach,
man,
and all of that.
Roller skating. I have a movie. I have a movie credit for my Super Psycho Sweet 16, the first one.
Okay.
I was a skating instructor for that movie. Roller skating instructor.
I don't even think people remember roller skating. That's four wheels, young people.
That's eight wheels.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, and I want to thank your family for allowing us to steal you away this evening for a moment. And, I mean, at any point in time, always let folks know that they can tune in and listen to you, and we'll be doing a few more things in the future. So I want to thank you and on this Christmas Eve and taking out your time, sir, and just blessing us with your presence here tonight. And we certainly appreciate everything, and want to, just let you know that we just really appreciate you coming on Christmas Eve, and just God bless your family and what you guys are going to be doing on the whole Christmas weekend that you guys are spending together. So thank you so much, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. I receive it. I receive all the blessings. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you.
Okay. Have a good night. Okay, you guys. Thank you for tuning in to the show tonight on this Christmas Eve. Even though we kind of made it through the technical difficulties, I want to just thank you all for tuning in and being mindful that we have just been completely overwhelmed with a lot of opportunities. And then, you know, we just want to thank Mr. Marvin Baldwin Jr. for coming on the show tonight and just let everybody know that today, tomorrow, Jesus is the reason for the season. Please enjoy your families, friends while you can, because tomorrow's not promised to us. You guys have a great night, and Merry Christmas to you all. And please tune in tomorrow on Christmas for it. We're going to have a short show, but we will have a broadcast podcast on tomorrow. So you guys have a good night and be blessed. And we love y'all all at NCWCC Digital Online, and thank you all for your support.